Conn Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yes. Coming up in just a few minutes, your chance to rip us off for a pair of tickets to see the Hawks taking on the Islanders tomorrow, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. Stay close. Just a few minutes away.
All right.
Our Lazy Susan, pardon the expression, and we apologize to every name Susan.
Or Susanna.
Or mayoral candidates continues right here as we strive to talk to each and every one of them. Now, we were told by, I believe it was NASA told us that we did not have enough time left on Earth to get to all of the different candidates who are running for mayor. So, Jerry Joyce, congratulations. You were able to make the cut. That was all very, very good. Okay, so you're a businessman here, attorney, grew up in the south side of Chicago. You are a you're not a newcomer to the world of politics here. You're familiar with it. You understand how the whole thing works. What makes you a different choice than some of the other folks that are running here?
Well, I've never held elective office, and I have not been in government my whole life. And I think I bring a fresh perspective because of that, and also because I was born and raised in Chicago and have a understanding appreciation of Chicago neighborhoods and how important they are to the future of our city. My wife and I live in a house a mile from the one I grew up in. We're raising our four children there. We believe in the future of Chicago. We love Chicago. I understand Chicago's at crossroads, and we really need to get it right.
So you came from a political family, though, so you're no stranger to politics, and yet you never ran yourself. The motivation I've seen you, I've heard you say, is that people within your circles of friends and family, you just want to make the city better, came to you and urged you to run. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. Mostly neighbors and friends. Actually, family was against me getting into politics.
They know it too well.
Well, we just answered a question that are on the lips of a lot of politicos, wags, I guess they call them. If mm-hmm. Michael Snead calls them that. That people who are like, because your family had been in politics. The Joyce name has been in Chicago politics and out of it for a number of years. And you worked in the state attorney's office, right? I mean, there is... and there was always, sort of an assumption that the Joyce family, the Daley family, were, connected in some way through the politics of Chicago. And you got a Joyce and a Daley running against each other in this race. So I think there are a lot of people who stop and at least from a 10,000-foot view look at it and go, well, how did that possibly happen? How did that possibly happen?
Well, I made the decision to run. Several months ago, I got into this race when Rahm Emanuel was still in the race, mm-hmm. and Bill Daley was actually supporting Rahm Emanuel at the time. That's how I got into the race, for the reasons I got in there.
So, unrelated. Okay, so has anybody asked you to get out of the race since then?
No.
Now, he answered that like a lawyer. That was very good. If only Rudy Giuliani could answer questions like that, the state of the nation would be completely different.
I've noticed that about you, that you're very concise with your answers, which is very apolitical.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about what you want to do then. All right. You said the neighborhoods are important. It's a crossroads. What if you were mayor, what's the thing you would do on the first day?
First day is I'd get a hold of or get on top of the public safety issue, make sure that we have enough detectives. Enough training for detectives, and I would institute what we're calling a neighborhood immersion initiative on the police department, and that is setting up teams of beats, 10 beat officers, one sergeant, into the same beat for 30 months. We would do that as a pilot program, but what that does is it's true community policing. It's not just a name. It's not a PR stunt. It's officers into the community getting to know them, spending a significant time there, officers on the same team. They'll have to be incentivized.
Do you want officers and sergeants on the same beat, or just sergeants?
One sergeant ahead of the beat.
One sergeant, and then officers who are coming and going, but primarily people are working out of districts. Cops that are working out of districts will stay. You want to keep
No, these would be beat teams headed up by one sergeant, the same
team. And the same team, same people.
Same team committed on that beat for us, what we're saying is 30 months. In several beats throughout the city.
So like tours, essentially?
Yes, extended tours.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
Enables them to get involved in the community, get to know who the players are, who the good people are, who the bad people are, the priests, the ministers, the teachers, the nurses, what the problems in that beat are. Right. And vice versa, the community gets to know them. They see them on a either daily or weekly basis, and it's not always an unpleasant encounter. It is not always responding to a crime or a criminal situation, but it is. So trust will build. A relationship. It'll take some time, and that will get to intelligence gathering. People will be more willing to be witnesses to crimes. Clearance rates, we believe, will go up because of that. The trust will build more. Confidence will come back.
Do we need more cops?
We do need more cops, yes.
And where will we find the money for that, do you think?
Wherever we can't not find the money for it.
I understand. I agree with you on that. But where can we find the money for that?
Well, we need to take care of the pension situation. Obviously, that's a big overhang. And we cannot solve that on the backs of our residential property owners.
Well, address that a little further, because I think that's something that becomes one of the central issues to our city moving forward. We have $30 billion in unfunded pension liabilities coming due. That's money we're going to have to figure out a way to pay. In 2 years, there's a $300 million of additional funds. You know the numbers. After that, 2 more years, there's another $300 million. Those are big numbers. And I think, I don't know that you've ever said you can tax your way to a solution there. Can you borrow your way to a solution there? Do you attract new business? What's your plan for solving that?
Our plan is, first of all, we have to find out what we get from the state. Where are they going? And ultimately, what are the feds?
Do you get a sense of that yet?
I do not.
All right, go ahead.
We need, and that will be a big factor. Until we know that, we won't have a complete picture. But in the meantime, as you just acknowledged, the number's too big to tax our way
They're
out
huge.
Of it.
So can I go back to the state thing? Because obviously now, you know, there's a Democrat governor, it's J.B. Pritzker, he's a Chicagoan. I mean, you know, who lives in the city. He's got, obviously, the Pritzker name and business and everything. So associated not just with Illinois, but so much with the city of Chicago. It seems like there may be an intent to do that. And there are big majorities now, Democrats, in the state legislature. But it doesn't stop the problem of even downstate Democrats or outstate Democrats from saying, hey, whoa, Chicago's always sucking away at our money. Why are we spending? People down in Effingham, Illinois are like, why do we spend a dime of our tax money on the city of Chicago? It seems like a million miles away from them. What can the mayor, if you are Jerry Joyce, were you the mayor of the city of Chicago and you had to go down and testify in Springfield, what would you say to the people, all the rest of the people of the state of Illinois, why it's so important for us to get that money?
Chicago is the economic engine of our state. So they have to cooperate. And we have, like as you just alluded to, all the legislative leaders and the governor are all Chicagoans. So we need their help to get us out of this, and I'm confident that we're going to get that full throttle.
How do you break out from this pack, though, Jeremiah? I mean, you got to look at your competition. You're doing polling, and you see all of these candidates. Two people will make it to a runoff, most likely, if no one gets 50% of the vote, which is unlikely. And you got to be one of those two. What differentiates you? What do you think is resonating with voters?
We're not wasting money on polling, and we're not wasting too much time reading anybody else's phony polls. Just continue.
Which we learned last week. They really are phony polls.
They really kind of are, yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah,
we can
go
see
ahead.
That story.
So we're just going to continue what we've been doing. We've been out to all the neighborhoods throughout the city. We've got a great volunteer force. It's growing. Our message is getting out there. We're out there not only speaking but listening, and we're being well received. We're going to continue that. We will go on TV. We will continue with traditional campaigning.
Are you going to take shots at the other candidates, at the mayor, at anything like that about the way it's being done? Is that part of the plan?
Our game plan is just to run our campaign and get our message out there and let the voters that haven't heard from us yet hear from us. And we have a website, obviously, and we mm-hmm. have our plans on there. So, mm-hmm.
What do you do on the second day of your job? All right, public safety, obviously, that's the first thing. What other issues do you think need to be addressed first, and then what's the one thing that no one else is talking about that bothers you?
Well, we need to rebuild the neighborhood school system, I believe. I think that's essential to the future of our city. Every neighborhood should have a viable public school.
Elected school boards?
Yes.
Big school boards or small school board?
Small.
Okay.
Districts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the thing that no one that you see as a Chicagoan that you see that nobody else is talking about, but bothers you, that affects you, that you would like to change as mayor? You know, like Mayor Daley used to drive up and down. Richard Daley used to, that does not disambiguate anything. Richard M. Daley used to drive up and down the alleys because it drove him nuts about, you know, the garbage cans were never right, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like
there's
the
graffiti
back. There's graffiti. Right, and other kinds of things, and rats and things. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, what is there something that bothers you as a lifer?
Yeah, the lack of communication and cooperation between neighborhoods throughout the city. I think there's too much isolation there. I think that Chicagoans, by and large, all want the same thing: safe streets, a decent public school system, and not to be taxed and fined and fed to death. And we have wonderful varying cultures throughout our city, but I don't think we interact enough amongst the neighborhoods, and I don't think there's a true appreciation from neighborhood to neighborhood. I spend a lot of time coaching, so we do in sports. You do get to see other neighborhoods and compete and compete, and maybe
you played at Marist, right? You played football at Marist?
I did,
and you played football at Yale.
I did.
Yeah, that's a big deal right there.
Should you reduce the number of aldermen or city government? Would there be reductions there to help with the fiscal part of the job?
Yes, I think that we can get by with 25 aldermen. There's not, we've been a lot of technological advances over the years, cell phones and smartphones.
Would you reduce the power of the aldermen? Because they are all powerful, obviously, you know that.
Are they? I don't know. It seems like the power is all in the mayor.
In terms of their wards, right? I mean, you can't get anything done in a ward without the aldermen getting behind you.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a... reduce the power of the aldermen. I mean, they're the elected representative of that ward.
Right.
Who should
but
have
should they be
that?
Able to have veto power on a business license, let's say?
I think they should. Well, I'm for aldermanic prerogative or aldermanic privilege.
Right.
It's not in the law. It's a tradition, but, you know, so the rest of the city council can always overrule that. I think that they're in the best position to make calls on and a business license. I don't know what would be the fact scenario on that.
Well, I'm just the problem is you hear from a lot of business owners that you can't get anything done obviously without the alderman being behind you completely, and especially when it comes to in the more business intensive wards, less residential, more business intensive wards, you know, they feel like there is some sort of a transactional relationship between the aldermen and those businesses in order to get the things done, whether they want inspectors to show up on time or if ever, be able to get permitting for construction internally. I mean, we know we're Chicagoans. We know what this is. I'm not speaking a foreign language here. You know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
and no, and. Permitting and things like that. No, I think that's inappropriate, and what you're alluding to is actually illegal. So
yeah,
no,
but it happens, and the issue is that the fear is that,
well, that shouldn't happen,
but it does, and the thing is that there's these guys have too much power. Men and women have too much power, so that it becomes almost an impossible thing to stop. I mean, I think we're going to have to address that on a different level here. And if you go down to 25, I get the idea of going down to 25. That makes sense. It doesn't save you as much money as people would think it would save, but it does. It does recentralize.
Yeah, when it comes to permitting, I don't think the alderman's office should have much on that. When it comes to zoning and issues like that, I think that impacts the whole rest of the community when you're trying to change zoning. I think that an alderman should weigh in there. Should have the ability and right to weigh in there.
All right. Jerry Joyce wants to be. What's your website?
It's jerryjoyce2019.com.
There you go. All right.
Thank
.com
you very
for
much,
sure. .com?
Jerry.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Good. I wasn't make sure. Sometimes that goes. Just Google Jerry Joyce Chicago, and it'll all come up. Don't worry about it. That's
Thanks
the way.
So much for
the
having
way it works.
Me.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us. All right. Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 rips us off for tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Islanders tomorrow night at the United Center. All brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com and listen for your chance to win all regular season long. Let's check in with Kim Gordon in the newsroom. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Row Emotional Technology, coming soon to a store near you.